And I didn't explain this yesterday. I probably should have explained it before I did the numbering, and I thought about it. I thought, I should explain that. I didn't even look at the numbers, so I don't know what your numbers were in terms of in comparison with how we're explaining it now. But I want to go back, and I want to renumber them again with those thoughts in mind. Yeah? Now, just, let's do that first. Why don't you come on up, Deanne? Give her a hand. Yay. Oh, yes, come up here.
That's why I wore a long skirt.
Oh, you wore a long skirt today. Why? You've made changes, haven't you? So let's number them in terms of, so as you look at them in terms of your numbering, say, which ones am I currently experiencing most of in my life, or am I spending all of my time in preparation, and I know that experience is right there. So in terms of how you spend your time on a daily basis and in terms of what you currently experience, what's really number one for you right now?
Compensation. And then respect. That's what's happening now. So you want me to go and number all these, right?
Yeah.
Three is work independently.
Now, let me just stop you for 2 seconds. Are you in a career that you currently are doing that you're going to be transitioning out of, or are you... Okay, you are. And is that in that career, are you being compensated well?
Yes.
And you're getting the respect, and you're working independently? Okay. Now, by the way, that's important, because if somebody's in a career that they're currently in but they want to transition out of, they're going to have a certain set of values that are keeping them in that career. Like, I once had somebody come to me, and they said, well, my number one value is to work for myself. And I said, really? I said, and they were in a career that they weren't doing anything to get out of because they felt that they had to be there for the security. I said, is that really your number one value based upon your actions? And they're like, oh, no, I guess not. I guess security is much higher than I thought. Okay. Yeah, so it was a goal rather than a value. So, okay.
I guess the next one would be building relationships.
Okay, number four.
And challenge.
Number five. Oh, okay, cool.
Job until now.
Right.
So I guess interest would be six. Interesting.
That's interesting. Okay.
And seven would be, I don't know, making a difference, I suppose. Now they get kind of weak.
Yeah, so now they're going to, and that'll happen. Toward the bottom of the list, there'll be like things that aren't really present for her right now that, yeah.
You want me to do it anyway?
Yeah, let's continue numbering.
Seven would be making a difference then.
Seven is making a difference. And we just do the best we can when we get down there. Because a lot of these she may not be experiencing, but we'll do the best we can.
Okay, and eight would be contribution, although they're kind of very close.
Okay.
And then nine would be creativity.
Uh-huh.
Advancement would be 10.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom would be 11.
Mm-hmm.
Having fun would be 12.
All right. You're having a lot of that, huh?
I know.
Now, I'm going to just pause for a second, because I want to get these in here, too.
Oh, you do? I was avoiding those.
Yeah.
I wasn't supposed to use them.
That's okay. Let's relook at our numbers and notice if anxiety belongs in there anyway. I mean, based upon what you're experiencing, is that anxiety in there anyplace? And you could just tell me right in between something, or I'm being needed. Yeah.
It was what?
Yeah, 3.5 or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Based upon what you're experiencing, yeah.
Okay, so I don't really experience that.
Don't really experience it? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So,
does it belong in the list right now, do you think, or is it?
I don't think so. Well,
okay.
It's not what I'm experiencing now.
So you're not experiencing a lot of anxiety on it whenever you, but in terms of motivation, it's not something that you experience a lot.
I have a tendency to think that it's when I get really antsy, and that's usually when I start thinking about hopping off.
You're right.
Looking to something else.
Right.
So, you know, it's confusing to me because I don't know if that's really a value. Is that a value?
It could be. Some people value anxiety, and that's how they motivate themselves.
I tend to rely on it, I think, as a necessary evidence to do something. It's sort of...
Yeah. There's an issue with anxiety in here, and the question is it one of the values or not, whether it's a conscious value or an unconscious value? There's an issue that we can clean up around the values, and I'm just seeing, are we going to put it in the hierarchy? So you don't think that it's something that you're experiencing now on a daily basis. Let's drop it down into lower numbers then. What about being needed? Is that...
That was sort of up there with like the making a difference kind of. So we can make 7.5, I guess.
7.5? Sure.
And then the better opportunities, let's see, that would have to become really a big, like 1.5 or something.
1.5. That's one that's really important to you. Yeah, and...
That one, I guess we can put that one last.
Let's put it last. Okay.
13.
Good. Now, some people will say, oftentimes the threshold values will rise to the top for people. That's real common, so if you see that happen, just know that that's okay. Like if they say, well, like in this case, she's not really experiencing the anxiety a lot. She does it sometimes. Some people will say, wow, that threshold value, well, the anxiety, I mean, based upon what I'm experiencing on a daily basis, I'm experiencing that all the time. That's my number one if I've got to do it how I'm really doing it. So sometimes those threshold values will rise to the top in terms of what they're experiencing and what they're getting out of life. And what they'll realize then is that that unconscious value is a lot more important to them than they'd like it to be or want it to be or thought it was. Does that make sense?
Hello.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So you've got to look at the ecology of that if you're doing cleanup work with this. So if you take that out, what's going to happen to the person's motivation? In which case, you want to motivate them. I mean, it would probably be a better way to motivate somebody would be with their values and toward values rather than away from values. Like anxiety is an away from value. And so if you took out the anxiety for that person, then there could be a motivation issue, in which case you'd want to work with something to make sure that their values were pumped up enough or exciting enough or compelling enough to them that would pull them forward and chain them forward without needing the anxiety. But I'm glad you brought that up, though. You would want to explore the ecology of any shift that you made like that. Like, what are the consequences of making this shift? But that's real good. Give her a hand. Hey. Hey, and we got no feedback. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. What are your question?
Yes.
On her. Right. Well, for her, though, she said she's not experiencing that often. She says she's experienced it in the past. Because we got that off the motivation strategy, and the motivation strategy is a motivation strategy she ran in the past. And she's run it from time to time, and that's been the thing that's gotten her to take action in the past and move towards something different, although that's not something that she's experiencing on a daily basis. So if she said that daily I'm motivating myself with anxiety, and yes, I'm experiencing that a lot, I'm sure she would have numbered it higher in the hierarchy. Yeah. So the threshold value could be at the top for some people, and it could be at the bottom for some people, depending upon their focus, depending upon where they're focusing on a daily basis, their time and their energies and their efforts. Yeah. Yeah. So... what we're going to do before we take a look at conflicts, because we're going to look at conflicts within the values hierarchy, and there's a lot of different kind of conflicts that we can have. Before we do that, we want to do some values elicitation. So what I'm going to have you do in a moment is I'm going to have you get together with partners. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We've got 9 people. So in a moment, I'm going to have you get together in partners in groups of 3. But I want you to work. I want you to work quickly on this. And where there's the 3 ways that we're going to elicit the values hierarchy for your partner. Deanna, you could do this with a partner in a different area of life. Some people like to use this time during master prac to meet with partners afterwards and so on and so forth to get all their values straight, so they really take off when they leave here, and also to clear out any conflicts within their own values hierarchy. So a lot of people will use this time that we have here for that, and we'll have some practice mornings as well to do that. So what I'd like you to do is choose an area of life where you want to be elicited, and find somebody you want to be elicited with, and you're gonna be in groups of 3. There'll be a practitioner, an observer, and the client. The observer this time, I want the observer to give feedback at the end. So the observer is going to watch the interaction between the client and the practitioner, and they're going to watch how the elicitation is done. The practitioner will elicit the standard elicitation. It's all on page 318 of your manual. They'll say what's important to you in the context of blank, whatever that person wants to be elicited in. Make sure that person comes to that blank spot twice, then pushes the client on to come up with some more answers, because you get more unconscious values at that point. Get a couple of values off the motivation strategies and get the threshold values. Once you've done the complete elicitation, and only once you've done the complete elicitation, the practitioner will then turn the list to the client and say, number them in order of importance how they really are for you right now, as you think about it. Once they've got the whole list numbered and everything, then the observer will have the opportunity to offer feedback. I want the observer to not offer the feedback until the end. And then how's the feedback is going to be offered in a, we call it a feedback sandwich. I guess you could call it a McFeedback sandwich. Yeah, a feedback sandwich. So you're going to tell them what was right, what could use improvement, and overall what was right. Okay, whenever we do coaching, that's the best way to do coaching. Well, I noticed that when you elicited the values, you did really good. You made sure to push them beyond the first spot, the first blank spot, and the second blank spot. I did notice that when you numbered them, I noticed that you might have been able to stress a little bit more the importance of numbering how they really are, because I know instead of how they want them to be. But overall, you really did a fantastic job. You got all three components in. You came to the two blank spots twice. You got it from the motivation strategy, and you got it from the threshold values. So you really did a fantastic job. Good job. Yeah. So the observer will offer feedback at the end. So let's go into groups of three. Make sure to set your chairs up at angles and do accelerated learning triads. This is about a 20-minute exercise apiece. Ready, go. And elicit in the category that you want, in the context that you want.